Good morning. Welcome here, everyone. Welcome home to this house of God. God is everywhere, including in this place, at this time. For our call to worship, it will be in your bulletins. And I would like this side to read part one, this side to read part two, and we'll all respond in the awe. Come, you who are weary from darkness of night. Come, you who are hopeful, who listen for the breath of God on the morning dawn. Come and worship the Lord. Come with your gratitude for the blessings of the day. Come with your pleadings for mercy and release. Come and worship the Lord. For the Lord our God is gathering us in, and Jesus the Christ is host. Let us welcome the Spirit that welcomes us here. Come and worship the Lord. God, hear us in our worship today. Christ, hold us in our worship today. Spirit, move through our worship this day.
Morning. So have we had too much rain to celebrate the rain? It's so green. Let's celebrate by singing two rain hymns. Number 40 in the Sing the Journey, As Rain from the Clouds. And then we follow that with number, 49 in the same hymn book. Let's stand if we're able. You know, before we begin, I forgot to mention the children. There's lots of rhythm instruments if you want to come up and play a tambourine or a drum or rattle. Okay, let's start. As rain from the clouds with your word down the earth, as snow and thank you.
like to invite the children to come up for a little story. I know I saw a few of you here today. All right. Well, three's a crowd. Oh, we got four, five. Excellent. So today we celebrate Father's Day, but I don't even have any children here to help me celebrate it, so you guys can maybe rub my feet or something. Does that sound good? Okay, so when I think of my father, I think of a guy who was always there for me. I mean, yeah, he was busy working all the time, whether it was at home or his job, but whenever I really needed him, I always found that he was there for me, just with a kind word or some sort of helpful advice or to help me work on something. So I thought I would compare that to God's love a little bit, in so much that whenever I need God's love or some gentle advice, he's always there. And this book called The Boy in the Ocean sort of represents that perfectly. So I'm going to read it to you, and you guys can look at the very beautiful pictures inside and think about how God's love is always with us. The Boy in the Ocean by Max Licato. The little boy rolled over in his bed and opened his eyes. Through his window, he could see the ocean. Big and blue, rolling waves, water crashing on the beach. The little boy stood at the window and searched for the end of the ocean. He couldn't see it. He could see the ships on it. He could see the birds above it. He could see the horizon stretched across it. But the little boy couldn't see the end of it. He couldn't see the end of the ocean. "Would you like to play in the ocean?" his mother asked. The little boy stood on the edge of the water with his mother. She took his hand, and they waded into the surf. When the water covered his feet, he looked up at her. When it reached his knees, he took a breath and squeezed her hand. When the waves rushed against his chest, she laughed. He did too. The two sat in the sand and let the waves splash around them. "God's love is like the ocean, my little boy," she said. "It's always here. It's always deep. It never ends. God's love is special." The little boy spent the day playing near the ocean. He counted starfish. He built sandcastles. He searched for shells. But most of all, he watched the ocean. He could see the clouds above it. He could feel the tide within it. He could taste the salt inside it. But he could never see the end of it. He could never see the end of the ocean. That night, as the moonlight stretched across the sea and landed on his face, he listened to the waves slap, slap, slap against the sand. "Go to sleep, my little boy," his mother whispered. "The ocean will not leave. The ocean will not change. The ocean is like God's love. Always here, always deep. It never ends. God's love is special." And so the boy slept with the sound of the ocean in his ears. The next day, the little boy looked out a different window at the mountains. High and tall, white-tipped, touching the clouds. The little boy looked from side to side to see the end of the mountains. He couldn't see it. He could see the trees growing among them. He could see the snow glistening on top of them. He could see the birds flying around them. But he couldn't see the end of the mountains. "Would you like to hike the mountains?" his father asked. He took the boy's hand, and together they started up the mountain trail. When the leaves scattered over the boy's feet, he looked up at his father. When the wind shook the tall trees, he took a breath and squeezed his father's hand. When they looked out over the great valley, the father smiled. The boy did too. The two sat on a rock and looked around them. "God's love is like the mountains, my little boy," the father said. "It's always here. It's always big. It never ends. God's love is special." The two spent the day playing in the mountains. The boy splashed in the creek. He picked flowers in the meadow. He listened to the singing birds. But most of all, he looked at the mountains. He could see the sky above them. He could feel the wind blow through them. He could hear the water that bubbled between them. But he could never see the end of them. He could never see the end of the mountains. That night, as the moon appeared from behind the peaks, the boy thought of the mountains and smiled. "Go to sleep, my little boy," his father whispered. "The mountains will not leave. The mountains will not change. The mountains are like God's love. Always here, always tall. It never ends. God's love is special." And so the boy slept with thoughts of the mountains in his dreams. The next day, he ran onto the beach and swam in the water. He chased his puppy up the mountain trail and looked for flowers. When the day ended, he and his parents lay on the grass and looked at the night sky. Stars everywhere, twinkling, shimmering, diamonds in the dark. He looked as far as he could to see the end of the sky. He couldn't see it. He could see the moon, yellow and round. He could see the clouds, puffy and fat. He saw a star race from one side of the sky to the other, but he couldn't see the end of the sky. "Would you like to count the stars?" his mother and father asked. So they tried. A dozen over there, two dozen over there. There were too many. When he reached 100, the boy looked up at his mother. When the wind turned chilly, his father held him close. His parents looked up into the big sky and became quiet. So did he for a while. But then the boy spoke. "God's love is like the night sky," he told them. "It's always here. It's always big. It never ends. God's love is special." The boy, the mother, and the father stayed for a long, long time, near the ocean, close to the mountains, beneath the sky, surrounded by God's love, and they smiled. The end. Thanks for listening.
Most of us know how important it is to listen, but usually we just do it with one ear. With the other ear, we are listening to our inside chatter. And I remember my first clear, total body, double-eared listening experience. hopefully it happened before the age of 10, but my first memory is from the age of 10. My sister and I were staying at my aunt and uncle's farmhouse for the summer in southern Manitoba. And it was a very primitive sort of heating system then. Only the downstairs was heated. So for the upstairs, they actually made holes in the floor so that some of the warm air would rise. And some of you are nodding your heads, yeah, yeah, I know that. I didn't know that. And all I noticed was that there was this kind of funny-looking holy plate on the floor, and that the nails that were supposed to hold it down were loose. And if I kind of picked at them, we could take the plate off, and then my sister and I could look straight down to the living room and listen to my aunt and uncle talk. I mean, what was greater than that? But what we couldn't figure out was, why were they so interested in the lack of rain? And why did it matter that Mr. Connellson would drive by their farm on Sunday afternoons? Well, my aunt soon caught us eavesdropping and put an end to those shenanigans. And I think this might be a poor example of listening. But what I remember was how we just stilled our bodies. We lay them down. We hardly breathed, and it felt like our ears were just sticking right out, trying to catch every last little bit of sound. It was exhilarating, because this kind of listening helped us to kind of listen in on a whole new world. This morning, we're going to do a lot of listening. We're going to listen to very, very old scriptural text, starting way back in Lamentations. And then we're going to have a festival of God is everywhere moments. And that will be followed by Bethany's transfer of membership. It is a special sort of morning. And because of it, I want you to trust that experience of listening, to give yourself to it, to still your body, to let your ears perk up, because God is here with us. God is speaking to us through these many voices. For those of you who are sharing your God is everywhere moment, I'm going to ask you to come up unannounced when it's your turn. And I am going to begin with a scripture reading from Lamentations, and I am reading from the Exclusive Bible. Yahweh's favor is not exhausted, nor has God's compassion failed. They rise up new every morning. So great is God's faithfulness. Yahweh is all I have, I cry, so I will wait in patience. The Most High is good to those who hope in God, to all who seek God's presence. It is good to wait patiently for Yahweh to set us free. It is good for anyone to bear a burden from youth. Let those who bear such a burden sit in silence, if that is what Yahweh has intended. Being rubbed in the dirt can teach us a lesson. We can also learn from grave insult and hard knocks. For Yahweh will not reject us forever. God may punish now, but will show compassion and the fullness of love. God does not willingly torment or punish any human being. Yahweh's favor is not exhausted, nor has God's compassion failed. They rise up new every morning. So great is God's faithfulness.
We'll respond by singing Great is Thy Faithfulness, number 327. Sometimes I feel like we should sing this hymn on our knees. So let's remain seated while we sing.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars in their courses above, join with our nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Okay, so I'm going to just start by sharing for Aaliyah. She's agreed to come up here because this first God is Everywhere moment involves her as a messenger. So a few years ago when Serena was in the hospital, it was a pretty dark and scary time for our family. And it was about that time that Aaliyah had gotten her first Bible from Pioneer Park as part of the Sunday school program in grade one. And I remember when Irene had given her the Bible, she had marked a scripture passage off for her and had read that to her. And during the course of over a week or two, Aaliyah had been opening that Bible and memorizing that passage of Scripture. And one evening when we were gathered in the hospital room, Aaliyah came in and proudly wanted to share that verse with us. And I'll just share it with you now. It's from Joshua 1, verse 9. I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And I wish I could flash back to that time and just show you what that was like for us, to have this little person in grade one come in and stand there like a true messenger of God and just belt out this passage of Scripture. And what we kind of had decided from there was to write it out and to post it in our house. And over the last couple of years, that verse has been on our fridge and was on a bulletin board and sometimes falls down, and just it seems to be at the right time that, at least for me, I'll pick it up and find it and read it and be reminded again that God indeed is commanding us to be strong and courageous and is with us everywhere. So that's Aaliyah's moment of being a messenger.
My moment was last week when I was at horseback riding and I was cantering around in a circle. And it was really scary, but I thought I was going to fall off, but then I didn't. And yeah, that's my moment. I'm gone.
So as I was reflecting on sharing this morning, a thought kind of came to me that God is really present with us in the miraculous and present with us in the mundane. And my dear friend Lisa Yancey often reminds me that life is so daily. And I think that that's true in the Christian life as well. So in the midst of the mundane for me, there's these small unexpected moments. They're like powerful bursts of light in the midst of a dark or dreary kind of day. So it might be interactions with my children. Maybe it's a song they want to share with me, or a thought, or especially at times at night when we're tucking them in and they have a prayer request or something to share, and that God speaks to me in those times. Often, very often for me, it's a song on the radio or songs on the CDs that I play in the car, and God, it's like those artists are singing specifically messages to me at that time, and I'm sure many of you have had that kind of experience as well, where just in those unexpected moments, God is reaching out and showing us that God is there. I've also think that in the miraculous times in my life, I was trying to think of one that I would share with you, when I've felt God's presence so clearly and so deeply. And I guess the purpose in doing that is just to kind of reflect on the opposites. God, yes, is with us in the daily little bits, and that's why we're sharing about God is everywhere. But God is with us in miraculous, profound ways. And one time when I was driving with Sarah and Serena and Faith, Aaliyah wasn't around yet. We'd been to the doctor's office quite early in the morning, and I was driving back home and somehow lost control of the car that I was driving. And, you know, as if any of you have been in an accident, you'll recall those moments where time seems to slow down, and yet it's going so fast at the same time. And I realized I had absolutely no control over that steering wheel, and we were heading for a ravine and the guy wire, and I just recall calling out for Jesus to save us. And then the car rolled and landed on its wheels again, and God, for whatever reason, chose to intervene. And I remember the police officer who came to that scene afterwards, and he said, you know, when I came, I thought I would see fatalities. And we all walked away. And I can't explain why. I don't think it's because there's anything extra special about us. I just think sometimes God chooses to intervene in that way. And so I'm sharing that to say that I'm, you know, that still sits with me. It still reminds me in my low times that God truly is everywhere, and we just never know when God might choose to perform a miracle in our lives. So that's our God is everywhere moments.
From Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us.
Our next hymn together is number 502 in the hymnal. I read this kind of shorthand this morning. Who is God? And this shorthand version was, and it seems like it's echoing through everything that I'm hearing today, that God stands, God stoops, and God stays. Feels like we've already heard about God's eternal presence. And now we're going to be looking at God stoops. God comes to our level and washes our feet. Let's stay seated. Yes, we're singing verses 1, 2, and then 4 and 5.
I'm going to invite everyone to stand. I heard a few people say, I need to stand. So stand for a minute while I begin. God is indeed everywhere. I have been thinking a lot lately about God moments. And a lot of those come for me through what I think of a psalm. Kind of sums it up. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. So whether that's the red breast of a robin or the redness and fragrance of strawberries, the beauty of flowers, those are wonderful things. You know, the shape of a cloud in the blueness of the sky. They're everyday things. Anyway, if you'd like to sit down, that's fine. The most particular God moment of my past week came on Monday. I was out with a client. This client has probably some form of dementia, which is exhibited mostly in short-term memory loss. Her long-term memory is still quite good. But she will tell me the same thing over and over, like maybe three times in 3 minutes or less sometimes. And I've learned to appreciate that, actually. You know, that's what's on her mind, and she shares. But in terms of, it came more less in the tasting and more in the seeing. We stopped at Hurley's Market out on the Herbs Road and bought a quart of strawberries. And as we were about to leave, we weren't quite at the door. Shirley noticed some people coming in the door, and her face lit up. These were her grandson's mother and father-in-law. And they recognized her, and she recognized them. That was so emblematic to me of how God, we see and don't see God at times, but when we do, our faces light up. And I loved sharing that experience with her. I recognized something of God there.
Well, last Sunday, Johanna said, asked if I would share, and I thought, this is kind of a joke, really, because what am I going to see this week, second last week of school? We have the most difficult group of 8 grade 6 boys this year, and it's not getting better, let's just put it that way. And I thought, oh boy, this is going to be an interesting week. What am I going to see? How am I going to see God at work? Or this should be really fun. It always is, because God is everywhere. And for me, it's a trust thing. And I did see God in a lot of places this week, but I thought what I would share this morning is how I trust God to be in the places where I can't be. And for me, it's in these boys' lives when they leave the school. They choose some pretty dangerous stuff, and I trust that God will keep them safe. And they live in some pretty horrendous home situations, and I trust that God will keep them safe there too. And so so my sharing for God is everywhere is kind of different in that I trust that God is with those boys, and especially over the coming months when they won't have school as a safe place, and I trust that God will be with them.
Where I see him, I think he's with me.
Yes, God is with you.
This has been an eventful week for us. Tuesday night at worship committee, we were finalizing plans for a summer series on faith formation. So that was still on my mind Wednesday, when Suzanne came home early from Grandpa and Grandma's house and said, "We need to pray for your dad." So we did. I thank God for the faith formation that is taking root in my daughter, and also for the life and health of my dad. He had an accident with a lawnmower on Wednesday and got his foot under the lawnmower. And even though he lost a toe and is in considerable pain, I'm so grateful that it was not worse. He is suffering and enduring, and his character is one built on hope.
This morning I'll be reading from Psalm 30. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and did not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you brought up my soul from Sheol, restored me to life from among those gone down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you had established me as a strong mountain. You hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cried, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me, and Lord, be my helper. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, so that my soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever.
Let's turn in the hymn book to number 76 and stand to sing Praise, I Will Praise You, Lord. Feel free to sing French if you like.
Recognizing God is everywhere moments, in my opinion, is not a specific skill set. It is an ability, but I think it's more our availability. Some of you have been to our property. Our property is a special place for us. We're connected to the soil. It's ridiculous how much I know almost every square foot of that property intimately. You could translate that into weed pulling or a number of things, but nonetheless. Not all of our neighbors share the same passion or interest for the land and where we abide. Some of this is my admission of selfishness, because some of our neighbors' lots are a real weed fest. I've been mowing probably about a strip of land. It's about 30 feet wide by 333 feet long. I've been mowing that piece of neighbor's land for 25 plus years. The neighbors are fine with that.
Excuse me.
I don't plan to try and latch onto that land. I just mow it. Mowing and weed controlling that piece of land, and this is where the selfishness comes in, means the weeds don't come over quite so readily. Someone looking onto that can see the difference and probably figures, oh, that belongs over there, but it doesn't really. So this one particular neighbor is the same neighbor where 2 years ago her husband took his life. And she does not enjoy mowing the lawn and doesn't have equipment to properly mow. It's a big area. So between myself and the other neighbor, we just at whatever moment or decision often mow that piece of land. And a few weeks ago, it was one of those events, it was my turn or whatever to mow, and so I was a little perplexed by it, but I said, okay, I'm going over to mow. And so I'm mowing, and again, I'm being a little selfish because I'm thinking, I am dulling my mower on this, whatever it is I'm cutting, and I'm taking all these weed seeds on my mower deck, and I'm taking them back home, and I'm in a little bit that state of mind. And I'm mowing around some trees and brush and stuff that if they were 30 feet over, they would have been cut down. But then in that state of mind, I brush against a stunted apple tree, and it's right at eye height, and it is literally at my shoulder because I'm trying to mow around it. And there, on that blood-stained land, there's a bird who is nesting on her chicks and refuses to leave and is virtually eye to eye with me. Availability.
and I thought we would never hear that sound again. Bethany. Bethany, you have previously made a confession of faith, and you've been baptized. We are so happy that today you are transferring your membership and continuing your faith journey with us. Do you now reaffirm your faith in the God who created you and loves you, in Jesus who forgives and heals and teaches, and in the Holy Spirit who renews and empowers you?
I do.
As you join this church, will you worship, serve, share in its programs, supporting it through your prayers, participation, loyal service, and faithful stewardship as God gives you strength?
I will.
Christian faith is nurtured in a community of believers that supports, encourages, and challenges us. As the body of Christ, we continually learn to live in love with each other. Do you commit yourself to learn, live, and share with us in the bonds of Christian companionship?
I do.
Congregation, with joy we receive you as part of this congregation. We promise to surround you with love, prayer, and encouragement. We pray that you will grow strong in compassion, vigorous in service, and deeper in your relationship with God. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we join together as companions seeking the way of Christ, bearing one another's burdens, and sharing our gifts with the world. This part, I'll say the part up here, and then we'll go down and do the water part down there. So as a symbol of God's abundance and grace and of Christ's teachings as holy and essential sustenance and of the Spirit's far, far-reaching power to transform, I am going to fill Bethany's hands with water.
Let's sing together and stand and turn to the Sing and Rejoice, or sorry, Sing the Journey, hymn number 42. Listen, God is calling, and we'll need some rhythm instruments from the children on this one.
Save us.
Sharing together our joys, prayer concerns, reflections, and encounters with God is a major part of what knits us together as a faith community. Now is our opportunity, and Becky has the microphone.
Last week, I brought the name Dan Cunningham before you, the superintendent of my building, whose wife had passed away a week ago Friday. What I didn't know then was that on Saturday, Dan and Mary's oldest grandson died suddenly of heart complications. So let's lift this family again. They've gone through two losses in 2 days. I don't know how one deals with that without support from other people.
I thought I could play all three verses of that song, and goodness knows why I thought that. This is the first Father's Day where there has not been four generations of our family here. And this is how life goes. We are delighted and blessed to announce that Father's Day 2015, we welcomed our 12th grandchild, Drew Beckler. He was born to Andy and Ange about 4 o'clock in the morning this morning. So we are delighted by that.
We haven't been here for the last couple Sundays. Two weekends ago, we were in Rainy River, Ontario. Does anyone know where Rainy River is? Yes. An hour and a half south of Kenora. I didn't think there was anything south of Kenora, actually, but apparently there is. It's right on the border of Canada, U.S., about an hour and a half south. So we flew to Winnipeg and drove 4 hours to Rainy River to attend the visitation on Friday night in the funeral service of Julianne's aunt, Nancy, who is her father's older sister. They went to Rainy River 55 or so years ago to plant a church as part of the Conservative Mennonite Church, and started with seven families moving from the Elmira area up to that part of the province. Walter, her husband, was the minister and still very active in that church. Nancy lived a very productive life on many, many levels. Numerically speaking, very productive. She had 15 children, 120 grandchildren, 118 of which were actually at the funeral. Two of them were out of the country, one in the Philippines and one in Haiti on a mission trip, but all the rest of them were there. Quite a tribute to her, the relationship we had with her, she had with her grandkids, and 83 great-grandchildren. So there were about 500 or 600 people at the service. They couldn't have it at the church. The church was too small, so they had it at the community center. I would like to have known actually how many people were directly related to her, probably quite a number, but it was a joy to be part of celebrating her life in that conservative Mennonite community. They really appreciated Julianne and her mother making the trip to be part of that celebration of life. So I wanted to ask for your thoughts and prayers of support for Julianne and her family as they grieve the loss of Nancy. Thank you.
In my God is everywhere moment, I touched on the difficult news as far as my dad's accident, but I also have good news in that this week I signed a contract, and on June 29th, I'll be starting work as an RMT at a physiotherapy clinic. So as much as I love my time with Suzanne, I think it will be really good for me to have co-workers again and be in that structured environment. So. If you would join me in prayer. God of darkness and light, spirit of life that resides in both, you who know suffering and hope, thank you for gathering us to this place of worship in the light of this day. Lord, we seek your comfort for the hearts and minds of all who grieve this day. For Dan Cunningham and his family, for Julianne and her family, and for all those who are missing, fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, children, grandchildren, or a spouse. For those touched by violence or systemic injustice in other countries, other parts of the world, or here at home in our own country, past and present. We seek your comfort for those living in fear, for all those whose names you know. Lord, have mercy. Lord, we seek your healing for the minds and bodies of all who struggle with injury or illness. For Glenn, for Willis, for all those whose names you know. Lord, have mercy. Lord, we seek your illumination in the hearts and minds of all who serve in your name. For those whose actions do not match your heart, we ask for mercy. For those whose actions do match your heart, thanks be to God. Lord, we seek your joy dancing in the faces of all who celebrate in gratitude of your love and provision. For Bethany, Michelle, Carolyn, and Wally and their family, and for all those whose names you know, thanks be to God. Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit, send forth your light of healing and peace into all the world, we pray. In the name of Jesus, the light of the world. Amen.
This Tuesday, Willis is going to have a surgery that he's waited for a long time, knee replacement surgery. He's waited for months. It's been months, hasn't it? Right. So I think this is a time for collective prayer. And I would ask all of you who are interested, you can pray from your seats, but I'm just going to go over and we are just going to put our hands on Willis and really invite God's healing present. So, join me here if you are so led. You have promised to be with us through whatever we go through. And so we pray that you will be present to Willis and that he will know that you are with him through his surgery and through his recovery. That you will be with the doctors and the nurses and that you will guide them. We give thanks for Willis, for his life here with us, and for all the kindness he has extended to others, and for all the service that he has done unnoticed. In his own way, he too is a healing presence. We give you thanks for your healing and your love. And we know that you are listening to all the longings of our heart. Amen.
Time for our tithes and offerings. So as the ushers come forward, I'd invite you to turn to 750 in your hymnal. We'll pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for the gifts that belong not to us alone, but to all our sisters and brothers, since they too are created in your image. Let their need become our need. Let their hunger become our hunger, and grant to us also a portion of their pain. So that in sharing ourselves, we discover the Christ who walks with our brothers and sisters. Amen. The work and worship of the church extend throughout the week. Are there announcements to be made or highlighted?
Please check your mailboxes. In your mailboxes today, there's a little yellow sheet that lists our services for the summertime and those Sundays when we will not have church here, and you'll want to know that. Also, just a reminder that there is no service here next Sunday. It's Sabbath Sunday. So you may want to find a different way of worshiping than coming here, because if you do, nobody else will be here. I keep thinking I'm forgetting something else, but... Oh, summer service starts at 10. That's listed on that sheet of paper, but it's very easy to forget.
Okay. Just want to highlight the announcement at the top of the bulletin that says photos, photos, photos. We're going to be making a little summer video this year of everybody's summer, so take photos, whether you're at home in the garden, or at the cottage, or on vacation, and then we'll put together a video, and we'll get to enjoy everybody's summer together, so at the end of the summer.
A reminder that we will be having a prayer walk this morning at some point, and even if we just have 15 minutes or so to do our prayer walk, I think that will be adequate time, so I will be in the fellowship hall to sort of gather people together when it's time for that.
I'll just do a quick one while Trevor makes his way up here. After church today in the fellowship hall, there is going to be some cake to celebrate a whole bunch of different things. Carol had a birthday this year and turned 70, so we can congratulate her. I noticed Elgin and Mary Lou have left, but Elgin is retiring, so if you see them over the summer, you can congratulate Elgin on his retirement. I was thinking of Bethany. I'm so happy that she's joined our church. We can celebrate that. And I'm sure you've got other things to celebrate, so just enjoy the cake and enjoy each other's company. So this morning, as part of I'm putting on my pastoral review committee hat now, Grant and Trevor and I were on the committee together, and I'm just going to give you a little brief introduction as to how this all came about for those of you who may not know. So the process for the pastoral review committee: Johanna's contract expires in October of 2015, and MCEC guidelines recommend that a congregational review happen 6 months prior to the contract ending. So the pastoral review committee was chosen by the ministry coordinating team and proceeded to use the material suggested by MCEC, which is Mennonite Church Eastern Canada. We offered 2 Sundays for discussion groups. April the 19th, during the Sunday school hour, the questions centered around congregational life and mission growth of this church. The following week, on April 26th, we discussed Johanna's ministry and gifts and ways that we as a congregation could strengthen those gifts. Shortly after these sessions, an electronic survey was sent and hard copies were in the library for those who didn't want to do it online. And the results of all of these opportunities for congregational participation was positive feedback from 43 members. 8 members did not provide any feedback into the process, and 10 members who do not come regularly on Sunday mornings did not participate. Our total membership in the 2014 annual report was 61. So we felt that we had a good representation of everyone. Trevor?
So based on that and the unanimous positive support that the congregation provided, we want to recommend offering Johanna an open-ended contract extension with the following commitments on our part. We commit to form a pastoral congregational relationship committee in conversations with Johanna. This group meets regularly with Johanna and helps provide ongoing feedback. We commit the MCT to review the previous year with her annually and undertake a wider congregational review after 3 years. We commit to support Johanna's spiritual health by subsidizing regular spiritual direction. We commit to continuing to support her in prayer, and we commit to continue to support her with our time.
First, I'd like to give thanks to Grant, to Irene and Trevor for coordinating all this and doing it on a fairly tight time schedule, but receiving a lot of feedback. And we also look forward to a finalized report, I guess, that'll come to us as the ministry coordinating team, so the various coordinators can take some of those suggestions that you shared and provide strength and community to the congregation here. So the coordinators will take your feedback and respond. Also, we were kept as a ministry coordinating team abreast as your results came in. And at our last meeting, we heard the recommendations, and we support those recommendations. So now I'd like to give you as a congregation the opportunity to support those recommendations as well by standing, and I'll be offering a word of prayer. Thank you, God, for this opportunity we had to reflect together as a congregation, to review, to give feedback. And we give you thanks for the suggestions that have come forward, the support that we felt together as a body that gathers in your name. And now, as this committee finalizes the recommendations, and we move forward to a service of affirmation in October, guide us in wisdom. May your spirit be upon us to knit us together as a community, to offer your love to this world. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Has been our June hymn of the month. When you walk from here, let's stand. We'll sing it through twice.
Walk with mercy and with God's humble care. When you walk from here, when you walk from here, walk with justice, walk with mercy and with God's humble care.
This feels like a bit of a wrap up before the summer begins, doesn't it? And there's been so much to celebrate. Let's have a responsive benediction the way that we've been doing it for several months now. I will go forth with a daring and a tender hope.
I will
I will go in peace. The world is waiting.
I will go in peace. The world is waiting.
And whatever I do, I will do for love.
And whatever I do, I will do for love.
And in the spirit of Jesus, who is our Christ.
And in the spirit of Jesus, who is our Christ.
Amen.